On October the 15th, 2016, David Wynne created a comic book purely from the suggestions of people on Twitter, and we called it Twitter Comic 2016. Alongside it, we opened up a Just Giving page to raise money for the mental health charity Mind, which is very close to our hearts. You can still donate to that and get a copy of the comic book that David created called Astro Vikings if you go to justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI. We also created a podcast alongside it for 24 hours. And these are the records of the Starship Twitter Comic 2016.
So, I believe segment six was a takeover segment. You, James.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, listener. You're listening to segment six
of Twitter Comic 2016.
They've already heard that bit.
Yeah.
You, but none of this is recorded or stitched together. This is all organic. You had scheduled a full, well, a half full program of events for the 24 hours.
Yeah, kind of.
And one of those program of events, we invited lots of our podcasting friends to actually come here.
Yeah.
But also, there was another one that was kind of exciting.
Yeah, Stacey Taylor.
Stacey Taylor of Stacey's Pop Culture Parlor.
Amongst other things.
And, yeah, other things. The podcast in a half shell.
Yeah.
And other things.
And other things.
She's on the latest season of the
Ray Gun and Starburst. Yeah, it's good.
So, and other things.
Yeah.
She was on telly a little while ago.
She was, yeah.
And all sorts of other things.
Good news, she reads news sometimes.
Yeah. So you arranged to talk to her.
Yeah,
on because the normally she talks to us.
Yeah, but we talk to her.
You talk to her.
But basically, I was desperate for someone to fill an hour.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not true, because that sounds like I'm being ungrateful about her contribution. It was brilliant. A little bit beset with technical problems owing to me not really being able to drive the Mixlr. Mixlr was the channel that we broadcast this live on the day. Not really being able to drive the studio app and having really bad feedback in my ears for most of it. I think at some point during the podcast I go, oh, I can hear you much better now. Because we almost bail, and then I think we do another half hour.
It's worth mentioning that it was my job to stitch together these Twitter Comic 2016 oral history episodes.
Yeah,
and someone who was really doing a good job of that would have probably cut out all the stuff where people are saying, "I can't hear you," or "You sound a bit like a robot," or those things. I'm not good at this. So that's all in there. But it's an oral history.
You can enjoy the anxiety of the day. Join along with us as we feel our world crashing down amongst around our ears, knowing that we've got about, 14, 16 hours still to go of this?
It's actually a lot like... it's a lot like if Stacey did a 24-hour comic, 24-hour podcast for charity.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like... if Stacey's 24-hour podcast for charity had been entirely conceived of and run by useless people.
That's exactly what it's like, actually. It's a really good...
It's exactly like that.
Yeah. I have to take partial responsibility for that.
It sounds like I'm throwing you under the bus, but all of my bits that I was running later on, I failed to understand how you fade up and fade down music. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Never got the hang of it.
Brilliant.
It's awesome. So, as well as all that, as well as the audio difficulties, you mainly talked about, just some comics and stuff, didn't you? Oh, you talked about Luke Cage again?
Yeah.
And you talked about, the comic Paper Girls.
And Inktober was very popular at the time.
Oh, yeah.
It being October. So we talked about that and all.
Didn't Mike talk on that as well?
I don't know. It's not written down there.
It's not written down. I think there's more to this episode. I think this segment episode.
Mike did spend an awful lot of those early hours entertaining my daughter, and I have to say she's now besotted by him.
Yeah, he's
lovely.
He's a big hit with 4-year-old.
He texts me
6-year-old girls.
Yeah, she texts me.
And 4-year-old girls.
Yeah, and 4-year-old girls. He texts me on the day that we're recording this to ask me some questions. It was nice seeing him from him. It made me feel warm and fuzzy. I'm sorry that we didn't get around to it. We were going to record something with him over Christmas. We just never got around to it.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's down to me and just piss poor organising.
I've been piss poor organising as well.
Yeah, but you know.
It's not just you.
Okay. Yeah, no.
It's me.
But specifically, I feel like I will take this one on the chin.
I feel like I got that sounds like a coming. Really yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I maybe stopped writing notes on this one. I'm sure there was more to it than this. Well, the listener can listen.
Yeah, well, I tell you, why don't we listen to it now? Yeah, is what I was going to say.
Let's do that. Okay. And we'll be back with the next segment in your RSS feed.
Yeah.
Remember to subscribe to this. We should have said that in the previous ones.
Never mind.
If
you've got here, now's the time to subscribe. There's more coming. Twitter Comic 2016. We're back on what are we back on? Air? Should we call it the air?
Yeah.
How's the comic going, Dave?
I'm on page 9. What else you want? He's good. It's going. No, right, it's going. It's still moving.
I wasn't looking for any more than that, although you're hyping it nicely.
What?
Yeah. Right, I'm just typing call. Here goes to Stacey Taylor, who Jane and I are going to talk to now, maybe, if I've set up Skype properly. If not, whoa! Here we go, then. Okay, any input, Mixler audio, less dial.
I have an admin question.
Yeah, what's the admin question? That's not happening, is it?
That's not good.
Oh, no, ringing. Can you hear
Hello?
Us, Stacey?
Hello?
Oh, why can't we hear you?
I can hear Stacey.
Can you? You say hello to her.
Hi, Stacey. Can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you. I was about to do a joke about how I could swear loads because none of you could hear me, but then you actually could hear me. So
you can do it. You can practice if you want. Something good just happened.
Okay. Something good happened.
can you hear Stacey?
No.
Oh.
Can I suggest maybe switching off our mic since we can't hear Stacey because we don't have headphones and there's a mic on over here. So
that mic's already off.
It's already off. Alright, shut up.
It's already on that. Yeah, it is. That's Stacey, Joan.
Oh, okay. We're echoing. I'm worried about Tim's thing happening.
Fair enough. You're going to have to talk to Stacey for the time being because I can't hear her.
Would you like to share my headphones?
Yeah, let's share your headphones. I'll have one of your headphones if that's all right. Hello, Stacey.
Oh.
She's
gone.
This is really...
Oh, no.
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm speaking. Oh, I'm the new Canadian guy that's just sitting at the table now. Nobody's heard until this point.
Oh, I think hold on. Okay, sorry. I think we might be back again. Hello, Stacey.
Hello.
There we go.
Yay! Success.
I always come preloaded with tech problems. I'm sorry, Stace.
That's all right. I'll let you off. I've done this before, and I did not broadcast my first 4 minutes, so, you know, I'm not going to judge.
Well, I think if anyone's been listening from the beginning, they'd probably say we haven't broadcasted our first 8 hours or so, to be honest, really.
That's a lie, because I was at work doing boring overtime listening to you this morning, so it's good.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for hyping us so much. We're looking forward to the parlour bump.
Yeah, I hope that's the thing that happens. I mean, I haven't got that many listeners, and they might all be poor, who knows? But if you're not poor, give us money. Like, not us. Like charities.
I think we probably share a few listeners as well, Stacey, so it might be I've wrung them dry, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to ring him again or something less creepy sounding.
That doesn't sound creepy, it sounds very nice.
Hey, how are you all feeling? How far are you in? Like 8 hours or some shiz?
How far are we in, guys? Is that 8-9 hours?
Must be
8 hours and 40 minutes.
8 hours and 40 minutes, but we started at 9, really, because we opened up the Mixler feed at 9. So, but it feels like forever, really.
It does, doesn't it, by this point? And you're like, oh, I'm not even halfway.
That's exactly what Dave said at exactly the same time. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, when I was doing the live show before, both times, I was feeling really good at this point until I looked at the clock and I was like, oh, 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm so close to the... Oh, no, there's like a full, like, 15 hours.
Yeah, and the night lulls you into a false insecurity because we normally sleep it. Oh, the night flies by, doesn't it? No problem. Oh, God, no, it's going to be a long time too.
Yeah, I hope you've got, like, all the coffee and all the Pro-Plus.
I'm really concerned about how much coffee we've got left.
So we can do a coffee run now. The shops are open.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. I think Jane's just about to put an order in for someone.
You happen to have a lot of Pepsi and Coke here, so caffeine is needed.
That's good. I might be like rubbing raw Coke into my eyeballs at some point just to sort of absorb the caffeine more quickly.
What I will say is don't go to town on energy drinks because they will wreck your bowels.
Yeah, because I've got the diabetics, I can't really eat. Although, to be fair, I had a chocolate croissant earlier, so I'm not really being very good, am I? So I was going to say I can't have the energy drinks, but, you know, in for a penny.
Mm. I'm drinking a stein filled with mango crush, just so you know.
Yes, I've got icy water, look. There you are. I rattled it next to the mic.
Well done. So who am I talking to? Who's still there? Who's what's happening? Where am I?
You're talking directly to Jane and... No, hold on.
You just
conflated our names.
Again.
You're talking to Jane.
We're not one person, you know.
It's Jane and James.
Hello.
Hello.
We've got limited headphone capacity for some reason, so...
Are you sharing like an earbud each or something?
Yeah, we are.
That is exactly what we're doing. We look a little bit like conjoined twins.
Oh, it's getting a bit snug now.
Photographic evidence of that. Hey, so anyway, I came here to talk comics, didn't I? That was really Black Country, and I'm sorry. I actually read some comics earlier because I've spent the past week... editing a nightmare podcast that drove me crazy because, you know, I'm so good at technology and sorting my life out that it took me like 6 full days to do one podcast. And so today I was like, no, I'm not editing any more stuff. And I read a bunch of comics and I just bit my tongue. Ow.
Oh.
Do you know what's the worst? Is that, like, I've been podcasting for nearly 10 years now. You'd think I'd know how to talk like a sensible human being. But, oh, well. So I read a book called Paper Girls. Has anybody read this?
Yes, it's really good.
Isn't it, though? For some reason, I was avoiding it, and I think it was because somebody had told me, oh, it's about a bunch of girls who do paper rounds, and I was thinking, is that it? Like, is it a book about girls who just, like, ride around on bikes throwing newspapers around, and I'm supposed to think that's cool? But it turns out it's not just about girls on bikes throwing papers around, which is good. Also, nobody told me that it was drawn by Cliff Chang, who's, like, my favourite.
That was my draw. My brother kept talking about it, and the same as you, he kept saying it's about girls and a paper round because he didn't want to spoil it for me. But then he mentioned Cliff Chang, and I was like, why didn't you just say that?
Yeah, if people had pitched it that way to me, I'd have been, like, reading it from the start because... Honestly, telling me it's about a paper round is tantamount to telling me it's about watching somebody, like, I don't know, paint a wall. Like, it just seems like a really boring thing. I've actually, now that I'm thinking about this, because it's live, I don't know how spoilerific I can be. Yet, like, does it make me a massive arsehole if I am?
What if you say spoiler alert right now?
Well... yeah, then I'm going to do a massive spoiler. So it's not just about girls riding around on bikes. It's actually about... Well, I don't even know. I read the first trade and it's still not 100% like clear what's happening, but it's awesome. And it involves like demons and time travel and spaceships and like killer monster pterodactyl things. It's really awesome.
It is really awesome. I can't wait to read the second trade as well.
And it looked so amazing. Like, I started reading it earlier today and I was thinking, okay, I'm already sold on this by how, like, beautiful it is. And then as soon as, like, one of the paper girls turns up and she's, like, an absolute monster badass, I was like, oh, I'm so in on this. And then demons appeared and I was like, oh, well, yeah, people should have told me that this was what this was.
But it's difficult to talk about it without spoiling it because... The title is just Paper Girls, the front cover is Girls on Bikes, and it's so different to what you think it's going to be about, so you can't really say much about it.
Yeah, I really liked that it opened on a particularly weird scene that I'm not going to spoil because I'm not mean. But the fact that it didn't start with just girls on bikes made me quite happy because I was like, oh, this isn't what I think it is. Great, let's dive in then.
You two have said girls on bikes so many times. It's starting to sound like a rejected Duran Duran song.
I was just going to say, I keep wanting to go girls on bikes, but I won't. Because I don't know if we'll get sued. No, we can't, because I said bikes are not films. It's fun.
No, and I think, isn't it fair use and parody or something?
I don't know if that can be counted as parody. Is my voice that terrible?
Well, I don't want to say anything, but... You've got a beautiful voice, Stacey.
I'm going to hang up, click, beep. No, I'm not that mean. No. It's really cold in this room, guys. I left the window open all day to air out the condensation-y bedroom, and now I'm regretting that decision because it's freezing in here.
You let the autumn in and that won't leave.
Yeah, exactly. I might actually get into bed in a minute. If you hear a rustling, that's what that is. That's fantastic. Not me being weird.
Okay, if the rustling gets too frenetic, we'll cut you off. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, that's somewhat rude, but all right. I also read another book earlier that was called Heart in a Box, which is by Kelly Thompson, who writes the current Gem and the Holograms books. And I love her. She's amazing. I spoke to her on the live show that I did in July, and I was a bit of a tit, actually, when I spoke to her, because I was trying really hard not to go, do you know how much I love you? I really love you. And so I didn't really say any words at all. If you listen back to that, it's mostly Barry talking and me giggling politely to the side. But she's really awesome. This book, though, is really weird, and I don't know how to recommend it because the story is amazing. It's about a girl who goes through a particularly rough breakup and wishes her heart away, and a magical dude appears and says, are you sure you want to do that? And she's like, yeah, can you actually do it though? And he goes, yeah, of course I can, I'm like magic and that, and takes her broken heart away, but she soon discovers that obviously not having a heart means that you can't really feel like anything, and so her life becomes insanely boring, and after a couple of weeks she's like, oh my god, I need it back. And so the whole like book is about her getting back these pieces of her heart that have been given to other people. And it's a really awesome story, but I did not gel with the art at all. It was by somebody I'd never heard of before called Meredith McLaren. And it's, I don't know how to describe it other than to say it looks very digital, if that makes any sort of sense.
Yes.
And not in a sort of like pixelated sense, but just in a very sort of like, it doesn't have like a natural look to it at all. And there's a lot of like...
rendered or that sort of...
Yeah, it's very... I think flat is probably the best way to describe it, perhaps. And it's not necessarily, like, bad. Like, the artist's style is fine, but, like, the whole way through it just didn't... Considering it was a book so much about, like, feelings, it didn't seem to have any heart. I don't mean that as a pun. Even though it's coming across like I planned that the whole time and wrote it down, but I didn't. Yeah, it was really weird, because, like, I would absolutely say that, like, everyone I know should read this book for the story. But I couldn't really recommend you spend all your money on it because, like, you know, if you sort of split it half and half writing and art-wise, which is essentially what a comic is, then half of it isn't very good. That's a really mean thing to say. Oh, so rude.
No, I think it's honest.
Oh, well, I try. I mean, the thing is, like, I would... There's probably like a load of people who would absolutely love this style of art. It's just like, for me, it just didn't, I needed some, I don't know, like texture there. I don't know what I'm talking about, guys. I don't usually do art. I've done Inktober this year and now I consider myself, no.
I'm loving your Inktober. I'm enjoying it very much.
Oh, thanks. I've never done it before because I can't really draw. I'm really good at like copying stuff. But I'm not good at, like, if somebody just said to me, draw Spider-Man without reference, I'd be like, oh, and I'd probably draw a picture of a spider going, I am a man.
Nice.
Question mark. but Inktober's been really fun this year because everybody, the great thing about Inktober is that nobody wants to tell you you're terrible. So you just get loads of people going, oh, that's really good, that is.
No, but it's really been really good. That's why.
Oh, thanks. I was a bit sad earlier because Mike picked on my Pikachu eyes and I got all het up about it, but you know. Man. Where is Mike? Give him a slap.
He's in the living room at the moment, but Jesse's close, he could give him a slap.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. There you go, Jesse gave him a slap for you. There you go.
He doesn't even know what he's getting slapped for.
Stacey, you're my friend, why?
It's a secret, you have to listen back, Mike.
God damn it.
Yes, so I've realised I'm talking like a lot and you guys aren't really saying any words. I don't know if that's because you want to have a quiet time because you've been podcasting like all day or because you want to have a rest.
There's two reasons. One is we want to have a quiet time because we've been podcasting all day. The other one is our headphones give us the most irritating sort of half a second delay. So I'm hearing my own voice back in the headphones, but I'm hearing what I said half a second ago. It's really disorientating.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Why is that happening, do we think?
I think it's because I've been left in charge of the tech.
Can you fix it?
I don't know, probably. If you knew what you're doing, you'd be able to fix it. I've been getting lag from the Mixlr board since I've loaded it. I take it you didn't get that when you did it.
I didn't have Mixlr as a window open when I recorded. I just had the little app that was actually like live-ing things because I didn't trust myself not to fluff something up if I kept the window open.
Oh yeah, so you know I've had the window open the whole time, but it's got flashing lights. I like it, so I just sort of sit here instead of talking. I get mesmerised by the lights.
Fair to do's. You guys both sound like robots to me now, which is weird.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, we are robots from the future.
Is everyone else hearing robots, or is it just me? Tweet. Hashtag Twitter comedy.
Yeah, hashtag Twitter comedy 2016 if you can just hear robots. You sound alright. I am
from the distant future. That was my best robot impression.
That's good. It's quite terrifying.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what I was going to follow it up with though, so you know the threat was very minor at best.
I've gone quiet because I'm doing some admin. Sorry.
Oh, so I'm not even listening to me. How rude.
No, that's fine. Two things at once.
I can barely do one thing at once.
So how's the comic coming along? What page are you guys up to now?
We are on page 9 is finished. I think Dave's working on page 10, yeah?
No, I'm still working on page 9.
Oh, okay, sorry. It's just I thought I could see page 9 in front of me. I didn't realise it wasn't finished. I'm sorry. Was that John jumping the gun?
No, this is page 9, definitely. I've got it in my hand, I'm sure of it.
Good.
So, John has made an admin boo-boo.
Yeah. So we're going to sit here and stare at John a little bit.
Why?
Because apparently you've made an admin boo-boo and you've posted page 9 and we don't think it's page 9.
It can't be page 9.
Oh, God's sake. Seriously, my counting sucks today.
Day of all days.
I know.
If I had to guess, I would have said John would have got above 9 before he started making numbering the food bars. But you know,
you had one job, John.
Do you want your one number lesson?
I'm starting to think that might be.
See, I'm starting to feel really guilty because actually John's been a trooper in terms of like taking turns on mic. So when I say mic, I mean on the microphone, not terms on mic, George.
Grateful. Just like to point out, this isn't the first time today that that's happened.
You made a counting error.
Yes.
How many fingers am I holding up?
16.
I don't think it's
that. 8.
Yeah. Right, there you go. Yeah.
And the thumb. But also the first error that I made was on page 3.
Oh, right, okay.
So I didn't even count to 3 before I got it wrong.
But Devon's got a bright future ahead of him. It's good. So that's where we are, Stace.
How are you doing for suggestions for the comic?
How are we doing for suggestions, Dave?
Not bad actually. I know what I'm doing. Like if It's complicated. Like, there's two sides to it. On the one hand, if we got no more, I would still be able to finish the story now. That said, more is always good.
Yeah. What can we look to? What's upcoming? Can you give us any?
There's going to be cats.
Cats.
There's going to be Thor.
Thor.
There's going to be probably some kind of banquet.
Probably some kind of banquet.
Yeah. Stuff. There's going to be stuff. Yeah.
How much stuff? Lots of stuff.
How much stuff is lots of stuff, would you say, Dave? That's just the question that's come off the top of my head.
Lots of stuff would be getting into the region of many stuffs.
Many things.
Plenty stuffs?
Would you say plenty stuffs, Dave?
Plenty stuffs would be an abundance of things.
Wonderful. I feel like, Stace, I'm on one of those hidden camera shows, you know, where they're getting, like, on Impractical Jokers, where they're going, oh, say that person's a real bastard, and they have to say it. That's what this feels like.
I hate that programme with an absolute passion.
Yeah, see, now I've got to admit, I don't like it, but I really like Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and I feel like I probably shouldn't. I didn't expect you all to go so quiet when I said that.
What do you think?
Oh, God. I didn't say I like setting fire to children. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, they can be pretty obnoxious, but, you know, we all have our guilty pleasures.
See, I'm having a slight problem with audio issues here, which is why I went quiet, because I didn't quite hear what you said. And I thought, I don't want to be that one who, like, laughs, and then what you've actually said is something, like, crazy offensive.
Brilliant. Well, it's a fair guess with me. How are you doing there? Can you hear us okay?
You're very, very robot-y. It's disconcerting and stressful.
That's almost something I've done. I don't want to stress you out too much, Stace. So, you're welcome if you need to press the escape hatch from the robot hell that we've put you in. That's all gravy.
No, that's fine. I'm happy to talk to you. The biggest problem that I'm envisioning is that I'm going to talk and then you're going to say something back and I'm going to go... And then it's going to get complicated because I'll literally just be talking to myself because I won't know who to respond to.
That's my greatest fear in podcasting, that I'm always talking to myself.
Aww. Now I want to give you a hug, but I'm not even there.
No,
somebody hug James.
I'm
quick
not doing it.
Yeah, and I'm not going to ask for that out loud. I'm far too self-conscious.
I'll put her supportive hand.
She's patted me very gently and I feel much better now.
Oh, good. That's close enough, I suppose.
I suppose. So, are those the only two books you've read, or did you have more, or am I now putting you on the spot?
No, I read another book, but I don't know what I think about it yet, so I hadn't super planned to talk about it.
All right, fair enough.
But I will, if you want me to. Because I was also going to ask you about your opinions on Luke Cage, if you've been watching it.
I've not, but Jane hasn't either, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. I was actually just looking for somebody to sell it to me because I think it's really boring. That's not a popular opinion to have on the internet, guys. I saw a blog the other day that basically said if you like Daredevil and you liked Jessica Jones and you don't like Luke Cage, then you're obviously a massive racist. And I was like, Or it's just a bit boring. It's really slow.
Yeah, it all follows, doesn't it? Yeah. Absolutes are always a good way to go when criticising popular culture.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing is...
absolutes.
That's true. Tim said, quite rightly, only Sif deal in absolutes.
Oh, hello, Tim. I didn't realise Tim was there. Hi. I'm doing a wave. He can't see or hear me, can he?
He can hear you, but I think on a delay because he's listening to the Mixler app on Jane's iPad.
I'm exceptionally confused.
I was just going to say, are you hearing like half a conversation and then 10 years later what I'm saying before that bit that you just heard?
See, he just heard you say hi. There's a very strange... loop of audio weirdness going on. It's all gone a bit Doctor Who timey-wimey.
I was going to say, it's a pretty hefty delay. It must be because you've got so much like internet shiz going on in your house, though, isn't it?
Almost certainly.
because when I was listening earlier today at work, and literally the only things I had going on was Mixlr and my work program thing.
Uh-huh.
It was so quick that I was like tweeting you guys, and you were like, "Oh, here's a thing that Stace just said," and I was like, "Oh, wow!" Amazed at the technology, because I was like, "I don't think it was this good when I did it."
Well, yeah, who knows? I mean, the internet broke at one point, so that was quite stressful. An hour of trying to sort out. I think we ran through two different computer combinations.
I think page 9's done.
Oh, page 9's done.
The real page 9.
Which means I'm now finally back up to speed.
Ah, David's on track too. Well done, Dave.
Oh, well done.
So I'm going to stand.
No, Dave doesn't like hugs, so you can give him a big thumbs up from me instead, like okay. Community.
He's looking away now.
Oh.
Oh.
He just thumbs up back.
Excellent. And he's having an and he's waving manically now. He's having an antithrombosis standing up.
Tell him to do some lunges. It's really helpful.
I would like to see him do some lunges, but I'd like him to do it when I've got more capacity to be able to watch.
When he's wearing fewer items of clothing.
Oh well, yeah, maybe in the middle of the night. Who knows where things are going to go this evening?
Oh, I wish I was like having the capacity enough to be awake at that time to listen in.
Yeah, no, it's. I hope I have the capacity to still be awake. We've got Nick's coming back later, so we've got plenty going on. Jane and Steve are here, Jesse and Michael are here, and John's here. I don't know how long John's staying tonight, but
I'll be here somewhere into the evening.
There you go, he'll be sitting here somewhere into the evening. One thing I have noticed, and I was kind of acting up with it when we were talking to Dave earlier, is how much I like to repeat the end of people's sentences.
You do, reassuring that they actually says something.
It's this sort of desperate need I have, especially when we're podcasting live. I need to fill every single pause, which means I keep butting in when people are just having a natural break in their speech.
Oh, I missed that one.
No, I just went quiet on purpose, and I thought, no, I'm giving up.
There's so much clunking happening at your end. What's going on?
Yeah. Mike's joined the table.
Mike's thumping his wine glass down, and my dining room table is the creakiest thing in the world.
Don't let Mike near wine or Prosecco. He'll do a sleep, and then he'll have the shits. Can I swear? I don't know if I can swear. Can I swear?
I'm actually going to hand him to Mike now, Steve.
Oh, there you go. Mike's going to talk to you for
No! I mean, hi, Mike.
Hold on. He's just sticking it in his ear.
Oh, blimey.
And then he's going to put the headphone on.
Yeah. Let me just shove it in. Oh,
there we go.
Hello, my lovely.
Hello, sexy. You're all right?
Oh, I'm all right, my lovely. Oh,
On a scale of one to drunk, how are you?
I'm okay at the moment. I could be drunker, but give it time. Give it time.
Okay. How many... Is everybody having, like, tag team naps?
I don't know. Are they...
Not me.
No. This is really weird. I can hear myself echo. I know you've had this conversation.
Yeah, we have, but the delay is really, if you could experience it, it's really quite vexing.
You shouldn't be hearing anything, though, should you? Like, is it just because you've got Mixlr open?
I don't know. And I don't want to experiment while we're talking with you, just in case I break something.
Fair dues. Yeah. Fair dues. It is a mildly terrifying prospect doing live podcasts. I'm like, you may have noticed that I'm quite anxious right now, even though I've done this twice before, and even though I'm not organising it this time. But it is genuinely scary to be live on the internet, because you do feel like you've got to be extra interesting, because you can't edit out all the bits where you normally crap. So.
Would you like to hear some good news, though, Stacey?
Go on.
I've worked out how to stop us hearing our input in the feed. I turned off the mic in the monitoring. Why didn't I think of that?
You sound clearer to me now as well. That sounds good to me.
Oh, man. Why didn't I think about that half an hour ago, though? Why did we have to put you through this half hour of hell?
That's all right. We're doing it to raise money for, like, mental health charities, so I may as well go slightly potty while we do it, hey?
Why not? I'm really impressed I've not had a chance to. We've had a couple of nice chats, though, about... mental health. George and Beth Beedham have been down, and Beth spoke really openly about the issues she's been experiencing over the last year or so. It's really lovely to hear, sort of someone be prepared to come and, cause it's all right for me, I've organised it, and you know, I've spoken at length about my mental health issues on Two Grown Men. But I thought it was really brave of Beth to come and do that. I was really, really impressed with the sort of clarity with which she spoke about the issue.
Me too. I was really sad, actually, that I... Because when I was at work listening to it on the browser, I had to stop sort of halfway through Beth talking because I was on the bus and I didn't want to have to, like, drain all my data. Sorry. So I'm quite looking forward to listening to the rest of that if it goes on the interwebs after the live thing finishes. Because, like, I mean, I'm quite happy to talk about my pottiness, if that's the thing you want to talk about.
If you'd like to, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons I wanted to be involved when you asked me on the show, was because I have mental health issues. I suffer from, like, really mild anxiety and depression, but they are triggered by moderate paranoia, mm-hmm. which is a thing that most people don't understand at all. When I tell them that I have it, I think people think that it's like conspiracy theory style, like, yeah. I think the government are out to get me, or that, like, mm-hmm. the higher people in the government are actually aliens or something. Mm-hmm. That's that's not it at all. That would actually be a lot more interesting and cool. The biggest problem I have is that I sort of think thoughts for other people that are not necessarily there, and then get very, very het up about them. Mm-hmm.
Do you mean by thoughts? What do you mean?
So, for example, when I meet a new person, the uh-huh. reason I'm so crap social gathering-wise mm-hmm. is because when I meet a new person, I am constantly thinking, what are they thinking about me? Mm-hmm. And then sort of projecting thoughts into their heads, like, usually it's really stupid stuff, like, oh, I bet they think I'm talking too much, I should probably shut up. But then I'll shut up, and then I'll think, oh, I bet they think I'm not talking enough, and I bet they think I'm snooty, and I bet, like, they think all this other stuff, and I bet they really hate me, and I bet they wish I'd just go away and leave them alone. I should go away and leave them alone, and and then I'll spend, like, an hour in a public toilet having a cry. Yeah, it's a bit stressful. So I think, like, it's really important to have people talk about this stuff in, like, public venues, because, like, I've been really lucky because everybody in my life has been really supportive. And I mean, even if they don't understand what I'm going through, because I am quite crackers, they've all been really supportive of me and my needs, and I've been able to access, like, counselling through work. And my boss has been really supportive. Like, she's quite happy for me to just, like, you know, sod off for an hour or two if I need to at work, and just, like, sort my brain out if I'm having a flap. Mm-hmm. But, like, the really interesting thing that I found was, like, when I started counselling, I think I did it sounds really weird, but I sort of almost live tweeted my counselling, in the sense that every time I had a session, I would come out and I would tweet everything that I'd discussed and everything that I'd learned about myself, mm-hmm. partly as a thing so that I didn't forget, because my memory is genuinely terrible, mm-hmm. But also so that other people can see that, like, admitting that you have problems and trying to face those and come to terms with them and figure out how you can live with them is, like, a really useful thing. Because one of the things I learned about myself when I did the counselling was I really struggle with saying no to people. I find it really hard to say no and to not do things well, because I don't want to let other people down.
Yeah.
And we did this thing called transactional analysis, which, like, is basically a load of questions that figures out what it is that drives you to do things and achieve things. Mm. And my two main drivers came out as being perfect and helping other people. Mm. And what was really interesting was when we got sort of, me and my counsellor got more into that, it actually turns out that it was because I didn't have my dad around when I was a kid. And I was adamant that that hadn't affected me at all, because I'd got a really supportive family and my mum was great. And, like, I didn't need my dad, it was fine. Mm-hmm. But the more we spoke about it, the more we realised that actually what was happening was, my mom had my sister first and broke up with my dad because he was a drunken mess. But then she took him back because she believed everybody deserved a second chance. Mm. Fell pregnant with me, he carried on being a drunken mess. Mm-hmm. So she left him again. And basically everything that's ever driven me to do anything in my life has been so that my mom doesn't regret taking my dad back again.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine if you'd like gone back to somebody who treated you like garbage, and then the thing that you had as a result of that was like an arsehole?
Yeah, I can get where you're coming from.
And it, like, it was such a breakthrough for me, and I feel like, I mean, I know counselling doesn't work for everybody, but I champion it to like everyone that I know, because I think there's so much about yourself that now that I think about it is so completely obvious, but it just had never struck me before. So I'm such a big champion for like sorting your head out, because you know you take your car in for an MOT every year. They don't just like check the windshields and the doors, like they get on in there and poke around and make sure everything's okay on the inside too. People need to do that.
Yeah, there's a real stigma, especially in terms of counselling, that it's an indulgent thing to do, and it's definitely been, in fact, actually in popular culture, you think about in sitcoms the way that characters who take psychiatric counselling are portrayed. Look at Fraser, you know?
What does that mean, Fraser?
Frasier.
Frasier.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I don't speak Cockney.
Fraser. You know, Fraser and his mate Niels.
He's not a Cockney.
No, I'm a Cockney.
I'm a Cockney.
Yeah.
You say Fraser then.
Fraser.
There you go.
He was born hugger mugger to do bells. But yeah, it's portrayed as an indulgent thing that a certain class of maybe of people do that isn't, you know, it's not worthy. You're not getting on with life and digging in if you're going for counselling. You're somehow weak or self-indulgent.
But do you think that's just the TV? Do you think that actual people... I don't know. I don't want to sound mean, but, you know, people are cleverer than, you know, what they see on TV. They can sort of make up their own minds about that sort of thing.
It is true, but I think popular culture as an influence on you as an individual is crucial. So it's not so much a matter of... Sorry, I'm talking about my personal experience now, Stacey. I apologise.
No, go for it. It's fine.
But it's not really so much what other people feel, but the way it's portrayed in media that you're... That's what affects you as an individual, because you're picking up cues on, maybe it's from me, but I'm picking up cues on how society think by absorbing things through the television. Maybe I'm starting to do a little bit of analysis on myself already about am I too influenced about what other people think because of attitudes portrayed in TV programs? Yeah.
There's an issue. But so, do you think that people think like that? Do you think they are as influenced by a TV?
It's really difficult because like the peer group that I live in, no, but then the work peer group I work in, so there's different people maybe, but I don't know, because there's that fear. I mean, although I'm personally really open about my mental health, it's still not the first thing I say when I meet people at work. And it takes me a while to build up a level of trust where I can open up with someone about it, because there is that fear that it's stigmatising. I don't know how you... I've talked quite a lot about that today, Stacey. I don't know how you feel.
I mean, for me, like I say, I'm really open about it, whether people want me to be or not. And I don't... This is going to sound quite callous, but I don't necessarily care if people are made uncomfortable by it or not. You know, I don't... There are people I have to tell, like people at work in management and stuff, to say, you know, there are going to be days where I might come in and I might have a wobble and I might need to go off and do some meditation, or I might need to go outside and get some fresh air, or I might need to go home and curl up in a ball for the rest of the day. Like, who knows? But most people I would just tell anyway, because I do feel sometimes like people don't want to know, and I do feel sometimes like perhaps I'm sharing too much, but I'm very good at that. as I'm pretty sure people discovered with Mike and I last weekend in London, when we almost immediately started talking about irritable bowels.
Well, to be fair, I started that, you know. Good grief.
Oh, good.
Peter
heavens.
Spelos now associates me with irritable bowels. So there we go.
Diarrhea. Yeah. But I think the thing is, the more open I am, like I know there are people in my office now that I've spoken to about things in my life that have made them look at things in their life and sort of start addressing stuff. And that makes me feel quite good because I know that, you know, I don't want people to suffer in silence, if that makes sense. And if I have to sort of shout at a load of people who aren't suffering anything, like, I'm having a day, and it makes them uncomfortable. Well, for like the 10 people I do that to, if there's one that goes, oh, I didn't realise other people felt like that, then it's worth it to me because I think it's an important conversation to have and it needs to be a bigger deal in sort of in society and in healthcare. Like it drives me mad that the only reason I had counselling was because I could get it for free because I work in the NHS, but I was still only allowed 6 sessions.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for those to end at all. No. I was like, Bev, don't leave me. She was like, I've got it. I was like, can I refer back in? Not for 12 months. Oh, my life. I had a problem.
Just go in with a wig, it'll be fine.
Yeah, just go with a wig and a full set. Hi, I'm Regina Philandry. but yeah, I mean, like, it makes me so cross, especially when you see a lot of stuff in the media about certain, like, attacks happening because people didn't get the healthcare they needed to stop them from thinking horrible things about people and attacking them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me really cross. It's working in the NHS, I completely understand how budgets and funding problems mean that you can't offer quite as much of a level of care as perhaps you'd want to. I mean, the department that I work in has just been cut by 52%, but we're expected to run the same level of service.
Yeah, Jesus.
Which is impossible because our waiting lists are now 26 weeks long. But I do think people, like, I feel like healthcare starts in the mind. Like, if you're in a good place mentally, you're so much more able to cope with any other illnesses and things that you might run into.
I agree. Sorry to interrupt, but I agree really strongly on that point. I don't think it's any coincidence that at the point of my life where I started to feel most healthy mentally again was the moment that I felt able to buy myself a bicycle and to get on it and ride it every day. And I've increased my level of fitness to a level that I've not had maybe since my early 20s, if ever.
Yeah.
So I completely agree that the knock-on effects, because depression will knock you on your arse and you'll be in bed, and you're not getting fit when you're in bed, mate. Eat. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely bang on.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, the service that I work in is a weight management service. Mm-hmm. And we're considered a specialist service because we have psychologists there. Mm-hmm. And I would say a good 90% of the patients that come into our service, basically we're for weight loss. When I say weight management, I mean loss, not like... so we see like quite morbidly obese people.
Yeah.
And I would probably say that like 90% of the people that come into our service for advice end up seeing one of our psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't get that big usually because of a lack of like knowledge of how to eat or how to exercise or stuff. Most people that come in know what they should and shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
The problem is that they're eating because of grief that they can't deal with themselves, or like the amount of patients we've got who've like lost a loved one, or you know, that they're going through another illness, like a cancer or something that's...
Mm.
And food is really comforting. It's so comforting. Yeah. And it's so, like you say, it's so much easier to just curl up in bed and forget that the rest of the world exists.
It's a super quick, easy endorphin hit, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's always there for you as well. Like, you know, as much as you might have a lot of supportive friends and family, you know, if you wake up at 2 a.m. having a cry because you've just had a nightmare about some trauma or experience or something you had in the past, there's very few people you can turn to at stupid o'clock, but you can open the fridge and get a nice big bar of chocolate.
So I
see it a lot in our service, and I just think, like, if these people, when these things had happened to them in the past, had access to services that could help them deal with that grief or whatever it was that happened, you know, that trauma or what have you, like, they wouldn't even be big and suffering from diabetes or hypertension, or so they wouldn't be on these meds that cost us an absolute fortune, and
yeah.
and they wouldn't be like going into hospital down the line with like heart problems, and
yeah.
that's why I'm so annoyed that we've had our funding cut, because I'm like, this is probably the only place these people are going to get psychological help. It just drives me absolutely crackers.
I just want to acknowledge Helena, who has been tweeting on the Twitter comic hashtag about her experiences with accessing mental health services as well. It seems like such a universal story, is none of us can get what we need as quickly as we probably need it.
Mm.
Unless we can afford to pay for it privately, of course.
Yeah, which is... honestly, you can make a mint doing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every now and again, I sit at work and I think, shall I go into psychology? Because I could make a killing. But then I think, like, I would be that weirdo who's like, oh, I'm just going to charge you, like, 50p because your story is so sad. And like, I don't want to add to your woes by emptying your bloody bank account.
Probably you should talk to Tim. It sounds like it's quite a lot of studying. It sounds like a lot of work.
It also seems like it's quite emotionally hard. Like, I had a friend who, she volunteered for the Samaritans helpline. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a different thing because the Samaritans are literally just there for people to talk to. They're not necessarily like full on counsellors or psychologists or what have you. But like, my friend has listened to people talk while they've been killing themselves.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, the emotional and mental impact that must have on you as a volunteer. And she was volunteering to do that. Yeah. That wasn't a paid job. Also, there are a lot of perverts overnight, apparently, calling Samaritans, which I think is a gross misuse of that service. But that's another rant for another day. but I just think, even the counsellors must need counsellors.
Yeah, definitely.
I do have a friend who's a Samaritan. I'm like you, I don't know how she does it.
No, it amazes me. And I think, to be honest, I think she deserves a medal, because I'm like, how do you go and do your normal 9-to-5 job, go home and have dinner, and then go and drive and listen to people talk about, even when people aren't, committing suicide over the phone with her, like even when people are just calling up and crying and having a, telling her about these awful things that have happened. I don't know how you'd even cope with that. Like, I'd be a mess myself. I'd be like, tell me your address, I'll come to your house and bring some chocolates.
I agree, the very idea of having the mental capacity to be able to carry other people's burdens in that way just staggers me. I'm so impressed by it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I can say from personal experience with my work, I've had to look after someone who was terminally ill, and I was working the day that they passed away, so I was there. And that, it's so hard to describe without it sounding callous, but there was something quite wonderful about seeing this person so peaceful after battling so much horror, so much pain in their last few days. It's really hard to describe without someone else experiencing it, really. It's a relief to see them sort of just move on, and it's as a spiritual experience as I could ever get in my workplace. Still a bit skeptical about the whole God thing, but it was so comforting to see that this person was treated right for their final days. We did everything we could to make sure that this person was respected, they were dignified. The other people in the house didn't know what was going on because of the nature of paranoid schizophrenia. Some of them might think that it was their fault or, something else. It's a very complicated mental illness, but I felt like we did everything right by this person for their final hours, and it's weirdly rewarding to know that you have done something incredibly positive for those final hours. That's my personal point of view for that sort of thing. And I can sort of see why certain people, a friend of mine who studied to be a nurse for a long time, decided to become a nurse for like people's final weeks of living. And I just couldn't understand why he would do that. And having experienced that, you do experience something wonderful about that person in their final sort of days. There is a certain release about that, and it's kind of wonderful. I can't really specify how people in the Samaritans would be able to deal with that. I suppose it's a certain mindset. I had to call the Samaritans at one point in my life because I was incredibly distressed. I had found my partner in bed with my housemate, and I was incredibly distressed, and it was the only time in my life that I would have considered murdering someone. It was horrific, and I called the Samaritans, and the person over the phone line was so perfect. It was, he told me things that I wouldn't have ever thought of in my life, and I like to overthink everything because I'm a bloody writer, you know. I like to think I'm a sociopath because I'm a writer, so you know, I like to overthink everything. And they just deal with the emotions. That's the job of a Samaritan. You deal with the emotions, the distressed emotions of that person. And I reckon that guy saved me from either taking my life or taking someone else's life that night. And I'm very lucky that I've got a very good friend in David Wynne as well, who actually popped over later on that day to give me McDonald's and have a chat. You know, I'm so grateful for the people around me, and I'm not sure I'll ever understand it, but it's wonderful that there are people like that there. Sorry, I went on a bit of a moody tangent there.
I don't quite know how to follow that, guys. Where do we go?
I'm very interested. Again, if you're following me on my Twitter account, Brian has been talking from a US perspective about mental health care provision, which is quite interesting, and how people feel with regards to speaking out, which is, you know, it's a universal issue, I guess. Well, not universal. I can't speak for people on other planets. It seems to be common in Britain and the US, is what I should have probably said.
Space slugs is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
The US always really intrigues me with that sort of stuff, you know, because it seems to me like there's still quite a lot of people who see mental illnesses or like mental health as like nothing and nonsense, but then so many Americans pay for their own therapy. Like some of them, you think you can't all need it, surely. Like, what's going on over there? But I think at the moment, if I lived in America, I'd be all over counselling if I could afford it, because holy mess, what is going on? That's again another podcast for another day.
Absolutely. Right, Stacey, we've kept Hello. You for almost an hour. I'm conscious that the evening is rolling on, and we're probably getting to the point we're going to retool and reboot again. Mm-hmm. So if you're happy to, we're probably going to say goodbye in a second.
Okie dokie, yeah, that's fine.
Is there anything you'd like to say before we move on?
No, I think I've said everything I wanted to say. Just go and donate, like everybody who's listening, do donate to the charity, because it is a well worthy cause. And like, I reckon everybody knows somebody who's got problems, even if they don't know that they know somebody who's got problems. So just get in there and help. Do it, or I'll come over to your house. No, I'm kidding. Don't worry.
You're lovely. Thank you, Stacey. We'll have to, hopefully, if we do this again next year, I'm looking at Dave, if we do this again next year...
Yearlies might be a mistake, mate.
We'll have to try and get you down next time.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to come and pounce on people for hugs.
Yeah, no, that'd be nice.
And I can slap Mike myself then.
Smash him.
Yeah, what was that about? Was that about the Pikachu comment?
Yeah, man. You know how I was saying about the paranoia? I've literally been staring at that picture for a good like hour or two this afternoon, going, what's wrong with the eyes and how do I fix it? I can't cope.
But you know what? Your line work is exceptional at the moment. It's, you know, every day I've seen your artwork and it's just improving and improving, and your line weight is just on, for a better word, fleek. It's wonderful. And I have nothing but respect for you for doing this challenge, you know, and I absolutely love your podcast, Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour. I'm going to plug it for you, even if you're not going to. Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour. Fantastic. And, you know, I'm so glad that I managed to talk to you without breaking into a Brummie accent for once. So,
or rolling off a cliff accidentally.
Oh, God, yes. We have to play Wind Waker again. That was so much fun.
But slightly drunk, slightly sambucaed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just half drunk, you know.
Stace, thank you so much for coming on.
That's all right.
Thank you for putting up with the technical issues that my crass incompetence caused early on.
That's also all right. I'm going to give you a smooch.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, right, my ear.
That'll keep me going for the rest of the evening. I hope we'll speak to you very soon, and I hope I'm going to eventually get to meet you in the actual flesh.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. Instead of me talking to this disembodied head that's looking at me from Skype.
Yeah. Oh, God, and that is a particularly flattering shot of me, isn't it, as well?
Although, I've got to say, my Skype picture's not that great, so...
Oh, no, it's very nice. Nowhere near as terrifying as mine. I completely forgot. I can just see it peeking out behind another window. Oh, God, yeah, you'll be looking at that,
I'm going to take a picture of what I can see, just so that you guys can enjoy it as well.
Yeah, Twitter, it is quite the thing. Stacey, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Stacey.
We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. I've had a laugh. It's been good. And I'm sorry we took it to a really dark place.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good.
There is help out there, guys. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good to talk about this stuff. It's healthy, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right then, buddy. Take it easy, and thank you again.
Toodle pip.
Bye.
Love you, bye.
Smooch, smooch, smooch. Smooch.
There we go. I am the world's worst at putting down...
So, Claire, you fixed it before I... Oh.
Sorry, Jane.
That's right, Mike was a much better...
Do you know what it was? All I had to do was mute that. I know. Okay, listener, I'm afraid the dreaded music is going to come back on. And then when we come back, more Twitter Comic 2016 with David Wynn, we'll start talking about the story again. And a little bit later on, Mike's quiz!
Yay! Woo!
Okay, so stay, I don't know, not tuned in, because you don't tune your internet browser. Stay...
Locked in.
Stay up, if you can. But you might be taking a lot of antidepressants, and you might be having trouble with it as well. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Happens to the best of, and the worst of us. Oh, God, I've said too much. We'll see you in about 10 minutes. Bye!
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.